Welcome to Could Have Sworn We Had a Better Name, a podcast of poetry. I'm Madeline.
I'm Eve.
We're going to start with a game, Professor Poet.
We're going to trade off guessing which famous poems the following lines are from.
I dreamed that you bewitched me into bed and sung me moonstruck, kissed me quite insane.
It reminds me of definitely like a very feminist poet, very well known. I'm going to guess Sylvia Plath. The poem is called, I think, something Mad Girl's Love Song.
Bingo, you got it.
The next one. All right. Your absence has gone through me like thread through a needle. Everything I do is stitched its color.
Ooh, that's so beautiful. I'm going to guess Separation. It's a bit of an obscure poet. W.S. Merwin.
That's correct.
A voice said, look me in the stars and tell me truly, men of earth, if all the soul and body scars were not too much to pay for birth.
A question, Robert Frost. I had to read that a lot in school.
Good job.
Down, 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 into the darkness of the grave, gently they go, the beautiful, the tender, the kind. Quietly they go, the intelligent, the witty, the brave. I know, but I do not approve, and I am not resigned.
Okay, I think this poet had a lot of like very passionate polyamorous affairs, and her last name rhymes with Fillet. I'm going to guess Edna St. Vincent Millay, and it's Dirge Without Music.
That is perfectly correct.
Though my soul may set in darkness, it will rise in perfect light. I have loved the stars too fondly to be fearful of the night.
This one talks a lot. The poem is concerned with like kind of space and like star themes. I remember the old astronomer and the author poet is Sarah Williams.
Yes, you got it.
It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
There was a movie about this with Angelina Jolie, Invictus, and William Henley.
That's correct.
I would like to be the air that inhabits you for a moment only. I would like to be that unnoticed and that necessary.
Margaret Atwood, Variations on the Word Sleep.
You got it.
You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert, repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves.
It's one of my favorite nature poets, and it is talking about Wild Geese by Mary Oliver.
That's correct.
Perfect. Well, that's a perfect segue into reading our own poetry.
Yes, we are going to read our own work for you all today. And we're going to start with Madeline. So a little bit about Madeline. She is a third year here at UCLA studying English. She has a concentration in creative writing. What's cool about her work is that she actually does both poetry and prose. And I think the thing that she chose today, you all can't see it, but it does look kind of prose-like, but it's going to sound very poetry-like. So that's really fun. She has minors in both entrepreneurship and film. She's from San Francisco, and some fun facts about her. She's a certified lifeguard, so if you're ever in a jam, you know who to call, and she loves puns. Unfortunately, I'm really bad at puns and incorporating them organically into conversation, but that's just for y'all to know. And she also is a huge lover of cats, and would, if she were a dog, she would actually just be a cat.
With that, I'll start reading. Honorifica bilitudi nitatibus. Alouette, gentille alouette, alouette, je te plumerai. Can you use it in a sentence? Qu'est-ce que c'est that word for the meaning of this life and the next? When I was young, I sang at spelling bees. Lost in translation, I loved birds, birds whose heads I could pluck clean off, like la tête of this sentence. Burn, 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 like fabulous yellow Roman candles exploding, like spiders across the stars. In bed, I moan for Schnapps and Jack Kerouac calling me mad, mad as hell for thinking. Evanescence is the most beautiful word in our lingua franca. Cut it open with your tongue, and it shines like tears when I first spelled S-C-H-E-R-E-N-S-C-H-N-I-T-T-E. In a sense, it is God. In a sentence, it is German, for the art of scissor paper cutting. For love, I said, ja burne, it means, in the desert sands, you bury me. In Latin, translation means bearing a cross, to bear a cross of a verbabel, to bear the impossible cross of giving birth to one language in the next. O our mother who art in heaven, deliver us from the evil of Schadenfreude slipping into the shadows of Sanskrit antonym mudita, tip of my palate, trip of three readings of Lolita, never finding the pale fire of waxwing slain on window pane. God bless you, Mr. Nabokov. In the beginning, father rhymed with forsaken, and the little children suffered from cacography. Unable to spell E-U-D-A-E-M-O-N-I-A, they lost La Dolce Vita. Ay, Anita, it's true for you, but not for me. Not for me, me, a name I call myself. By accepting mind-body dualism, sans explanation, one puts Descartes before the horse. Till your ears towards the stars, darling. They're laughing at all of us on this burning wreck of oblivion, the only home we've ever known, an earth bequeathed to Adam and Eve as an engagement gift for a paradise lost as easily as biting an apple. Swallowed as aphrodisiac, its milk-white core will summon a goddess whose face launched ships made to drown in human voices. An echo of Eliot away from wasteland, the Argonauts rebuilt their ship into a thought experiment, until a runaway trolley flattened myth into mere whispers. So it goes, all this Fernway and wabi-sabi and mellifluous metanoia, so it goes towards apocalypse each night when the moon is drowsy with rust and red wine. Pure stardust is what we're made of, skeletons click-clack connecting in each kiss. Oh, light filtering through trees, wordless joy, unspeakable beauty. This is truth, truth so divine it can be touched without burning to death. Oui, j'adore cette vie. Spell life, L-O-V-E. Accepting only what we think we deserve, light a candle for each wallflower, say he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me as I truly am, the shape of our hearts holding hands underwater. Call me Venus, and I'll erupt like Vesuvius, suffocating an entire city for devotion. Oh God, Le Petit Mort will kill us all in the end, but it's not over until we write, once upon a time, there was a girl who cried at the simple beauty of language. She had so many favorite words. End stop, book end, P.S. Thanks for defining many. It means a lot.
Wow, that was so amazing to hear it in your voice. It's definitely a lot different than me just reading it to myself. Especially with some of the, like, I am pretty sure it's French, maybe, perhaps.
Yes.
Words that I do not know what they I didn't know what they sounded like until now. And the singing, it's really great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I want to introduce Eve now. So, ever after Eve enters, the room springs alive like a paradise lost. Eve doesn't need Adam to be a strong English major. Her concentration is in creative writing, her heart struggling with the sociology major. A minor point. Eve says she's from San Mateo, but she's not really a California girl. She's a citizen of the world, a spirit from beyond the stars. Like Eliot's evening etherized upon a table, Eve is full of bright potential. She wants to teach the universe. About what? Duh, dance, or poetry, or how to live, love, and laugh. Even now, Eve is confident she can reach and teach infinity and beyond.
Wow, thank you for that bio. I feel like it's better than my poem that I'm about to share. But yeah, I will share it and then we'll talk about it after. This one is called Envy. I did not know envy, no, that was something given to me. 10 letters scrambled across my desk and E-N-V-Y were the only ones that stuck. And although I do not accurately recall, I could bet that the other kids had something like Catherine, Cat, Rain, Andrea, Red, Arena, Gregory, Egg, Emily, Lime, James, Jams. Meanwhile, Envy. And I thought Ivy. Ivy that's green and grows on trees and lives. No, he told me. Envy. Envy. Jealousy. Yes, envy lives all right. And there began my envy. Why I could not have the Red Cat Rain Lime Jams Arena Egg. That way I might have been lucky, because I wouldn't have a meaning that was so damn transparent as to look me in the eyes and say, you are envy. Me? Don't want to be envy. Want to be envied. Searching, gathering from what I had, hoping to materialize an I, an E, or D. But E-N-V-Y is all I have, all I am, all I will be. So that if I should have a daughter, I will name her Margot with a silent X and the longest middle name I can find, like Margot Stephanie Angelou, giving her the most and best of the letters so she can spell things like righteous, pure, elegant, upright, moral, sharp, and tough. So that if I should have a daughter, I will name her Margot with a silent X. So when she is running short of letters, she will turn to her X and make ox to remind her she is strong. But more importantly, she will be stronger than any few letters or alphabets combined. So when she speaks, she will be heard and letters will become irrelevant. And only then will we be envied.
Wow, that was so gorgeous to hear you read that aloud. So it seems like we both took poetry as our medium and both our poems were strongly influenced by language. Can you walk me through your writing process and your inspiration for this?
Yeah, so this was actually a poem that I wrote in high school. And so I was really hesitant to like share it, mostly because of embarrassment. But I think like it really, I love that you shared Sarah Kay's work and actually, there's a line in this, so that if I should have a daughter, that is from one of her poems that I remember like watching one of her like TED Talks, but it was like a long TED Talk poem. So watching her work, and there's other lines that kind of allude to other online poets. And so I was really thinking about like, so the other poem that it alludes to is Katie Mackay's Pretty, which is like kind of like a viral poem as well. And she talks about, like, she's talking about the word pretty and how, like, she's also talking about how her daughter won't be contained in words. So it's kind of, like, that similar theme. And so that's really what drove this. But it's interesting to look at it now, because now the way I approach writing is significantly different. Even reading some of these, I think the reason that I don't like this poem as much, or I don't really, it feels very young to me because there's a lot of lines that I'm reading and I don't believe them. Like, I don't believe I'm only ever going to be envy. Like, that's such a bold, young Eve high school statement. but it's fun to return to this and also to discover that you were kind of inspired by the same things. It was inspired by like online poetry and like, I think it's very performative, which much of my work now is less that like that. It's kind of just more like awkward and obscure, I suppose. And I wanted to ask kind of, because I noticed that you do like a lot of like integrating singing and talking and then spelling. So those are all kind of really different ways of like getting sounds out of the, like out of your mouth, out of your system. And so I wanted to talk to you about that and kind of ask you like what kind of motivated you to incorporate that in your poetry?
Well, like you, I was really inspired by Sarah Kay. She opens a lot of her poetry with singing. And even though I can't sing like her, I love the idea of making your words music, essentially. And I also like different languages. So I took French in high school, and I loved how like morbid the song that I sang at the beginning was. Mm. So it's a children's song, and it teaches you about body parts, but it literally translates to like, little bird, I'm going to pluck off your head, I'm going to pluck off your arm. So essentially like killing a bird, and you teach it to like kindergartners to help them learn about the body. So I thought that was kind of like morbidly beautiful. And then I've always been interested in linguistics and how you can get the most out of a word, especially when you say it aloud. I did spelling bees where words sound very different if you dissect them into individual pieces. And then I took part of a linguistics class at UCLA my freshman year. I dropped it because it was in the math sciences building, and I really, like, hate that building, and I got lost all the time. But it taught me a lot about, you know, like, phonemes and different parts of language, and I wanted to use that all in a poem that was, like, basically a tribute to spoken word and that legacy.
Mm. That's awesome. Yeah, and your poem also, like, touches on a lot of, like, kind of canonical authors who are really well-known. And, of course, we kind of went through a lot of, like, the well-known poems. So I'm curious, because Sarah Kay, I would not associate with that crowd of, like, people. She's more, like, contemporary, online, just more lax, I suppose. Yeah. So I wanted to know about, like, the kind of writers that inspire you, if they're mostly, like, canonical, like, English majory type authors that we would typically study, perhaps as, like, GE requirements and whatnot, or, like, 10 series requirements, or if they're more contemporary, maybe less well-known.
Yeah, so I'm guilty of liking, like, a lot of, like, you know, rich old white male writers. Like, I grew up reading classics in the canon, so modern poetry is more, like, of an innovation for me. But whenever I read classics, I'm just so in awe of how much has been done. Like, in the past, poetry was mostly rhythmic and rhymed, and nowadays, modern poetry or spoken word is a lot more personal, and it doesn't follow a set scheme. So I'm trying to integrate both, because I like the tradition in the classics and how much they drew on myth and how much they talked about, like, these human experiences. But I also like making it more individualized and more personal. What about you? Do you find you have the same influences, or what do you lean towards?
I think for me, actually, I started doing more writing before reading, which I'm guilty of, being someone who does not read that much but is trying to be better. And I actually heard something the other day, like a conversation between two poets podcast. One of them was Danez Smith. I don't remember the other person. They're actually the one that, like, runs the podcast, Commonplace. But they were talking about how you should be taking in three times as much as you're sending out. And I was just like, oh no, like, at me, I don't do that. I need to read more. But I think since I started writing, like, I started reading more as I was writing more, I started with the contemporary poets and, like, more, like, people who are alive, who are sending out work, who are doing readings, because I felt like their concerns were more similar to mine. Whereas, like, I would return to, like, a lot of the canonical things, and they're like, they're talking about nature, but it's this really long, extended metaphor, and that's less that what I'm interested in doing at the moment. I don't know, that would maybe be a regression to, like, start doing that later. But, yeah, so it's more, like, recent poets who are alive and young.
No, I definitely respect that. Like, I love hearing about your process and, like, all those different influences in your writing. Guess we've talked a lot about poetry, and we're going to sign off with a quote from the brilliant poet Dylan Thomas.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.